Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of strength. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Yeah, try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need time, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of time.
In episode 377 of Orts and John, I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, and tonight we're talking about the LA Rams Eagles preview. It's here, man. The Eagles are about to go on the road again, and we're going to just say and speak it into existence, the road to victory. Obviously, the road, well, maybe not the road, but the airplane that we have to take to get to that victory. It's a couple miles, guys. But before we talk about the game, I just want to wish this guy a happy birthday to his face, dude.
I appreciate it, man. I was listening on the last show, and I appreciate that that happy birthday shout-out as well. And thank you to everybody, you know, that reached out on social media and everything. Really appreciate it.
So how you feeling? I mean, this is the Rams. I don't know. I really just don't know who this Rams team is. I really don't know the identity of this team, because, you know, Cooper Kupp was out for a little bit. People were thinking that tanking Eagle fans were like, hey, maybe we could trade for Aaron Donald. When the Rams tank.
I was one of them.
But the Rams are the Rams, and they're 2-2.
Yeah. They're honestly impressing me a lot more than I thought they were going to at this point in the year, especially going into the season. And you see that Cooper Kupp is going to, you know, start on the IR, miss some games. I'm like, you know, I was expecting them to start 0-4 or 1-3, just because I think it's a depleted team. I mean, you have an aging Matt Stafford, but he continues to just kind of buck up against old man time. And, continues to sling the ball around, man. Obviously, Puka Nacua has burst onto the scene this year. He's second in the league right now in receiving yards. And for a rookie, this man's already got 500 yards four games into the season. It's impressive,
pretty,
man.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, during draft season, if you guys are here with us during draft season, you know.
You were big on Puka.
I was big on Puka. I spent a lot of time going back and watching his film. And I was just like, when I was watching him, I was like, dude has a game. Just his ability to stay healthy, you know, that was one of his things. But he was one of my day three guys that I was like, okay.
When you were doing your draft research, did you also know that he is Dana White's nephew? I had no idea until I saw
really?
Him. Yeah, he's Dana White's nephew.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I know he's got some brothers that play in the league as well, or played at BYU. I think he teamed up with his brother at BYU.
Gotcha. He's been a legitimate star in the league. Like, he has burst onto the scene and done well.
I believe he got hurt down at the Senior Bowl too.
He may have, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. But again, any guy that puts up numbers as a rookie, that's astounding. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, at the end of the day, that's what you like to see. I know Cooper Kupp has been out with the hammy, you know, air quotes, who's out in Minnesota getting that tested. I mean, with all the LA doctors out there, why would you go to Minnesota? I don't know, but
they got the Mayo Clinic out there.
There is a potential that he could be back this week.
Yeah, and like, you know, looking at how that offense is set up, it's a very pass-heavy offense. You know, Matt Stafford has been a gunslinger his entire career, whether he'd been in Detroit or in LA. It's always been a pass-first offense, anything he's been in. And then you look at two high-volume receivers in Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. I mean, they're going to be trying to move the ball around a lot. I think that we have an advantage in having, you know, some strong corners, but I think they're going to try and pick apart some of those safeties this weekend, man.
Pick apart our safeties?
I think they're going to try.
Now, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the Eagles are also still trying to figure out. When we talk about the Rams' identity, the Eagles, I think, are trying to find out their identity with their new coordinators and such, trying to figure out what and who they are.
I think their offensive identity is more clear than their defensive identity, I would say. I think offensively, we're a run-first team, right. Pound the ball down their throats, and then, you know, we can break off into the pass off the run. Versus, like, you know, like you said, our defense's identity, obviously, we're most stout in the D-line, in the front seven. Speaking of the front seven, the linebackers have impressed this year. Nicholas Morrow has stepped up and played well. I mean, he was a guy that after he ended up getting cut, you know, and we brought him back, I wasn't expecting much out of Nicholas Morrow, but the man has showed up, as well as Zach Cunningham. So if we can continue pressure out of our front seven, you know, get in Matt Stafford's backfield, force him to get the ball out. Hopefully he can make some mistakes, but, yeah, I think our defense is a little bit more up in the air than our offense, in my opinion.
I mean, there's been some moving parts. You talk about Vontae being out, little Tay-Tay, as we like to call him. You know, Justin Evans had a neck injury. Sydney had a hammy.
Sure.
So there's been some moving parts. We've had guys like Josh Jobe out on the out on the street, getting shot at.
Yeah, he's been
consistently.
They keep on attacking him every week, man.
The Eagles signed cornerback Bradley Roby.
Love that.
Which we had spoke about that on the last show. Yep. And we spoke about that the night before in the chat, our own personal chat about what transpired. And now he's here. So he did practice this week. I'm not sure if they're going to let him rip. That would be kind of interesting if they just threw him to the fire.
I mean, you look at how our cornerback room is set up right now, and obviously we got Slay and Bradbury, two veterans, but you know, all the other guys that have been filling in, like Jobe, Eli Ricks, like these are all young guys with not much experience at all in the league. And to be able to bring in a guy like Bradley Roby, who's a legitimate veteran, who's been a part of, you know, he's been a very good to decent corner in the league for the better part of a decade. I think it's a valuable asset to bring in, not just for his play, but also him teaching the younger guys, you know, being another voice of reason in the locker room.
Now, Ev, I know you got the what's up? What's the medical situation? What do we call that?
The medical minute.
The medical minute with Evan there. But not to be outdone, Tim said that Fletch will be out. I know he did not practice on Thursday. This was an interesting injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not gonna say he was all world last week, but he was all hype. He was pretty hyped up last week. So the fact that we don't have our vet, this is like a glimpse into the future of what it would be like without Fletcher Cox.
I had also seen that, like, he was getting an epidural, right? To try and alleviate some back pain. And they're anticipating it was on the fence whether or not he was even going to miss this game. But it's looking like he's going to, and they're saying that this is the maximum that he should miss for this procedure that he went through. But I agree with you, man. Like, we're going to get a glimpse of what it's going to look like in the years beyond Fletcher Cox in this game. But I will say he's going to be missed, because with the, you know, with the addition of Jalen Carter and with the resurgence of Jordan Davis, who has, you know, come into his own this year, Fletch has, like, with his fresh legs, it's like he found new life. Fletch has been playing out of his mind this year, man.
I mean, if you don't get the double teams as consistent as like you used to, that's how you eat around
exactly.
Here.
And like, you just look at, like, Jalen Carter absorbing a lot of those double teams. Fletch is free to run, man. It's great.
Shout out to Wealthy Mind. Yes, he said Hollis already. Hollis got into LA earlier today. We are getting into LA
later tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. Yeah. At around 11 o'clock. So pretty much 2 o'clock our time. So pretty much Friday is a shot. So it's pretty much Saturday, breakfast. And then might as well get into it. We are going out there with the Philly Sports Trips, doing the ultimate LA tailgate. Shout out to Lowski, who will be DJing the tailgate. We'll have a ultimate LA pep rally, which is on Saturday with dudes like John Dorenbos, Quint Michael, Alice Thomas. That'll be from 4 to 7 o'clock, Tavern on the Main. And we're going to LA, man. It's, you know, we did
palm talk trees, about Venice Beach.
Yeah, but I don't know if you got the memo. They said not to wear blue hats out in LA. Yeah, so please leave that hat.
They say wear gold. Big on gold out there.
Yeah, I mean, my brother said no Phillies gear, no red hats, no blue hats. Oh, this is not this is green.
What am I allowed to wear? What is the dress code? Just Eagles.
How about Kelly Green, man? Kelly Green is the flavor.
Kelly Green will work.
Kelly Green is the flavor. But one of the flavors we're going to hear about and learn about is the LA Rams flavor. We don't, you know, we're not a Rams podcast, so we're looking forward to Ryan Dyrud of Believe Network, Believe in LA Football, CEO of the LA Football Network. He's going to tell us about the Rams. And if you Eagle fans have questions about the Rams, at 6:50, that would be the time to pull up those Ram questions and see what they have a nice little group of wideouts.
Dude, and like I said, like having a guy like Matt Stafford, after he got that that Super Bowl ring under his belt, I think that he kind of is starting to cement a Hall of Fame type of, you know, argument. And a Hall of Fame quarterback with some elite weapons, yeah.
He's in Hall of Fame.
You don't think Matt Stafford's Hall of Famer?
I mean, he's going to put up the numbers. I think that Super Bowl helped. Definitely had. Yeah, I mean, definitely had Megatron.
Yeah,
we have our own Prime, but he had his own Megatron. We'll see. Dad says, anyone know if Cooper Kupp is playing? It's trending in the direction, but you know, it's in the middle of the. They could either. It's a 21-day window. They could just say it.
Yeah,
you want to let the Eagles know that he's not playing.
Yeah, you don't want to tip the hand.
Mr. Cross said, Zach said today on his show that he says he thinks he will start.
Okay. And didn't they just trade Cam Akers too? He's not on that team.
Nah, he went to where'd he go?
I want to say Minnesota.
Minnesota? Oh yeah, he did. Davon said no tomato pie in LA. This is true.
That's a regional delicacy, man. It's, you don't catch that outside of the Philadelphia area that much.
You think I could fit this in my bag?
I think you could. Whether or not it would arrive looking like that is a different story.
Shout out to Conshocking Italian Bakery making the amazing tomato pies. Again, if you're not on a tomato pie, you haven't made it. So, in Philly, that is. In Philly, that is.
Baseball caps represent different neighborhoods in L.A.?
I feel like, you know, when
can't they just represent baseball teams?
I feel like, you know, when
where Minnesota, are we going to Iraq?
When Minnesota fans went to LA, like new stations were like being very, you know, concerned about their fans going over, mm-hmm. like trying to give them safety tips and shit. Like, like I got this message today from shout out to Mel. It says gang and sports attire. So it's a whole rundown of gangs and which gangs wear certain hats. So, but I mean, this is kind of interesting. I know this is not a preview of the Eagles Rams, but hey, it's a safety tip.
We're going out to gangland. Man.
Seattle? I don't know. You can't wear Seattle hats, Georgetown Hoy hats, Cincinnati Reds hats, Chicago Bulls hats.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay.
But have fun, Ev.
Yeah.
don't bring a red tomato pie either. Well, yeah, man. Hey, first of all, what did you do for your birthday? Anything great?
Yeah, it was pretty awful, honestly. I spent it in work until like 11 o'clock at night for two filmings that were about 5 minutes apiece. It was pretty boring. Not going to lie.
But the Phillies won.
Phillies won on my birthday, and they also clinched the series last night, clinched the wild card, the Stott Grand Slam that was heard around the world. I mean, were you and your pops watching that?
I was watching from a hotel in New Jersey, and I'll let you know that I did text my brother, just so you could say it, before I said, bases are loaded. Watching in my hotel, he's up with the bases loaded. I said he's gonna pull through. What that, I told you.
That's awesome. Called the Grand Salami, eh?
Hey man, I'm pretty geeked about this whole Red October thing. It is a thing. Andrew says so. I expect you guys to be rocking your Phillies gear when you go out to the West Coast. Maybe just in the bar.
I just learned that I'm not allowed to.
Just in the bar.
I think that it is awesome how the Phillies are surging right now, and it's the same exact thing as last year. I mean, October last year, you remember it, the Eagles were undefeated, heading into October. We started out 8-0 to start the season, and that was also coincided with the whole Philadelphia's Red October run all the way to the World Series. And so I think that we're in for another fun October, man, between the Phillies and the Eagles. They're going to be keeping us entertained.
I mean, we deserve it, man.
We do. We've put up with a lot of miserable seasons.
We deserve it. The thing I'm most excited about this week is just seeing this Eagles team against a better quarterback. Now we're going into the I'm not going to say the elites, but we're going into some upper tier quarterbacks. I know someone
that's joining would say that he's elite.
I'm not saying elite. Elite is a strong word. He's a great quarterback. But we will let Ryan decide for the group and the chat. How about that? That makes sense.
I like it.
Bringing in Brian Dyrud from the LA Football Network. How you doing today?
What's up, fellas? Doing great. Thanks for having me. You know, good time, I'm sure, in Philly sports with your Phillies moving on and stuff. And we got Dodgers out here starting soon, but happy to talk football. So thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
You missed the real talk. We're talking about gang attire before you got on.
Should you be concerned about wearing hats out there? Because that's what people keep on saying.
Really? Like, about what do you mean about hats?
We just got told that the hats represent different neighborhoods. You got a
different gang.
Watch what you're wearing.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, to an extent, like I'm from Colorado originally.
Okay.
I moved to Long Beach in 2008, and the Colorado Rockies had the Crips wear those. I didn't know that either, but I mean, you'll be fine. I think you'll. And actually, the Pirates, obviously Pittsburgh, not Philly, but everyone in San Pedro wears the Pirates hats. So yeah, I guess you're right, but I don't think you have to fear anything. You should be fine.
Okay.
I mean, we're
coming from Philadelphia, so that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Just don't wear Houston gear and you'll be fine. That's like public enemy number one out here.
Won't catch me dead in Houston gear.
Philadelphia is a wild place, but obviously they're going to LA. This is a great opportunity to go. Like before you got on, we talked about Stafford being probably one of the best quarterbacks the Eagles have faced so far this season. I think he's got a quick release. He knows where to go with the football. I think, he is the word on the street is Mr. Kupp runneth over could be back. So you believe Cooper Kupp is coming back?
Yeah, he practiced, so we're today Thursday, so he practiced Wednesday, should be practicing it today, and they practice here in about 10 minutes. But it's looking like it. I mean, they'll take it slow, obviously. I think they kind of rushed it in training camp, which is why he ended up on IR. But all indications are he looks healthy, feels great. And so they always play these pretty smart. But if I were a betting man, I'd bet he goes on Sunday. We'll see if he's in every single play, but I think he'll be out there.
And speaking of being a betting man, Gail and I, we were doing draft coverage, you know, before the NFL draft happened. Gail was a big fan of Puka Nacua going into this draft, and then you guys obviously ended up with him, and he's just burst onto the scene. When Cooper Kupp arrives back in this offense, how do you see the target share being split up? Do you think that Puka continues to surge, or Cooper just comes in and pretty much takes all that from him?
Yeah, it's a great question, and you know, it's funny because when you look at Stafford's tenure here so far in LA, he's really honed in on Cooper Kupp, regardless of who was, even when OBJ came to town. Obviously, mm-hmm. Robert Woods was a big name here, and it was kind of just the Cooper Kupp show. There's that story that came out of the Breakfast Club when they kind of got together when Stafford first got traded and really built that connection. And so to me, and I'll get to answering your question in a second, but to me, mm-hmm. it was almost beneficiary to this offense that Kupp went on IR because it forced Stafford to get a rapport with other receivers and with other players instead of just having that connection with Kupp. So there's been stories that kind of Breakfast Club 2 happened and Puka Nacua really latched on to Stafford and they kind of had a great rapport. And obviously we've seen that, you know, breaking every record, leading all rookies by 250 plus yards and just what he's been able to do. So to answer your question, I think his meteoric rise will come back down to earth a little bit. Just because when you have the caliber of Cooper Kupp out there, you're going to get him involved in some capacity. But the offense as a whole, it will obviously benefit as now they have these other options. And we've seen Tutu Atwell kind of come onto the scene as he was kind of labeled this bust player. And now he's played really well. So, you know, Kupp plays kind of primarily from the slot. Puka Nacua's had, I want to say it's like 80% or 70% from like the Z position and then the mm-hmm. other 30% from the slot. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of intertwine those guys. But to just give you a simple answer, we'll definitely see his target share go down, but I think it'll still be heavily involved in this offense, especially in that short yardage game.
Yeah, he's been a volume guy, but also just the fact that he's getting the targets and opportunities, coming up with a big play. I mean, that's at the end of the day, like I feel like guy's got a good one. I'm just wondering, you know, if he gets injured, because that was his thing. Like he had injuries in his past. But he's here. He's making plays, and it's weird because the draft geek in me is like, I'm rooting for the kid. But then now I got to go out. Now I have to go out to LA, sit in the stands, and you know, root against this kid. But it is what it is, man. That it is football.
And another guy that I feel like is kind of being, because of the Puka Nacua, like it is kind of taken the NFL, aside from the whole Taylor Swift thing, has taken the NFL by storm. I feel like Kyren Williams, that whole thing has kind of been swept under the table. And, you know, just how effective has he been as a runner for you guys? And do you kind of anticipate the same sort of success with him against the Eagles defensive line?
Well, second part first, I don't anticipate the same success. I mean, you guys are giving up, 63 yards a game on the ground? So I mean, it's tough sledding against that defensive front. How Jalen Carter fell to you guys, I'll never understand. Amazing draft pick. But he's been great in this. You know, he's a true three-down back in the fact he can run, block, and catch passes out of the backfield, which is what McVay looks for, which is why it didn't work out with Cam Akers. Cam Akers didn't totally buy into all that mantra. You know, never really had I don't buy into that. He had a terrible attitude, but just didn't fully embrace that role of what Sean McVay was looking for. Whereas Kyren Williams has done that in spades. And, you know, I don't think he's on the same talent level, but he's the first back since Todd Gurley that is able to do it all in all three phases. And that's what they've been missing since Todd Gurley, you know, had his knee issues and they ended up releasing him and he went to Atlanta, is they've tried to find that with, you know, Daryl Henderson, CJ Anderson, Cam Akers, Sony Michel, all these guys, and never got that. And Kyren Williams has been that do it all back that they've been lacking. So you've seen it every week. You know, he's getting 5, 6, 7, 8 catches every single game. Yeah. They're finally running him a lot. You know, they didn't run him against the Bengals. I think he had 13 carries, and I'm the guy, we did our show, you know, probably 2 hours ago, our Rams show. And I'm always 30 plus carries is my mantra. 30 plus carries gets you an opportunity to win football games. Yeah. And so they finally did that last week. I think they ran him 25 and Ronnie Rivers about 7. So, Yeah, I don't think they'll have the same success against the Eagles, but they should at least have a balanced attack with him.
And talking about the running a game, you need offensive linemen that are stout at the point of attack. Now, we have questions. Now, is Lerick Jackson going to play this week?
If we're going back to being a betting man, I would say no. He's not ruled out yet, okay. But didn't practice yesterday. I think they'll hold him out longer. Dotson played really well over at right guard, and they slid Noteboom over to tackle. Mm-hmm. Now, Noteboom did not play great at left tackle, and you guys should eat on that, I'm sure, if that's the case. But, yeah, to answer your question, I don't think Jackson will go, but I wouldn't be shocked if he makes a chance to go at it.
See, I was trying to set you up on that question to see where you go with that, and you answered it perfectly.
I trained over here.
Now, Steven Avila, another mm-hmm. favorite of mine, stood me up for an interview. So big fan of his game. So how's him at left guard? I think he was pretty stout from all the tape I watched. Has he been everything as advertised?
Yeah, he's a dog, man. I mean, he was a home run draft pick. Most fans were pining for either an offensive lineman or an edge rusher with that first pick in the second round. They went obviously offensive line and Avila. I mean, he's a monster human being, great guy, great teammate. But he's been everything as advertised. I mean, he's probably been, outside of Rob Havenstein, who's the longest tenured Ram still on this team, Avila's probably been the most consistent and reliable offensive lineman. And he's, as a rookie. So, they missed last year with Logan Bruss. They was their first pick. They drafted offensive line out of Wisconsin, and obviously they waived him. He's on the practice squad now. But Steve Avila has been a home run so far. And just, he goes into that, they wavered on that offensive line the last few years to be more of like, technically sound, but not like these mashers. And they've gone now back to like, we need to just be brawlers at the point of attack, because their biggest opponent, the 49ers, they just got beat up by every single time they played. And so they've kind of shifted gears in the offensive line, and drafting Avila was that first step. And if you watch the Niner game, I didn't expect you guys did, but if you did, it was the first time in probably since McVay's been here where the Rams actually held their own at the point of attack. And I know they lost 30-23, but it was a game felt like the Rams were in. Whereas even in their Super Bowl run, like, they were getting blown up at the point of attack. So Avila is definitely the catalyst for what that means.
And
I want to be honest. I know Avila did have some great quality reps versus Jalen Carter when he was at Georgia. Yes. So I'm throwing my flowers. Evan, go ahead.
He was probably the only one that had quality reps against Georgia.
I had to throw it out there, man. I had to throw it out there.
I mean, that is impressive in itself. But sticking with that, with the defensive line, Aaron Donald obviously has been a generational player for you guys. And I'm not so much asking for this game, but just more intel as far as from a LA Rams fan and someone that is closer to the team out there. Because I remember when you guys won the Super Bowl, there was those rumors about, him mulling the idea of retirement. And I think even McVay was mulling that idea as well. And so now we're a few years removed from that. Is that still kind of existing, and like, where you're thinking that Aaron Donald, this could be his last year, that, is that still an existing thought?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think he'll, I think he's going to finish his contract, which I think after this year, he has 1 or 2 years remaining. I should know that offhand, but I don't. But I think he's satisfied with finishing his contract. They feel it's funny, because this year, I'm sure you guys have talked about the offseason, or at least offline, and this teardown of the roster, and the trading of Jalen Ramsey and all these players. And it felt like what are they doing? You have Sean McVay, who's mulling retirement. You have Aaron Donald, was just doing that. You have Cooper Kupp and Stafford. Like, these guys aren't going to want to be for a rebuild. And then you're around the team and you see what they've done this year. I know they're a 500 football team, but it feels like they're a pretty good 2-2 football team.
No, they are. They are, yeah.
And it feels like, okay, there's some juice around this team. And Aaron Donald feels much more excited this year than he was last year after coming off a Super Bowl win. Sean McVay is rejuvenated. So, another long-winded answer from me, but to answer your question, I think he's good for his contract. McVay for sure is good through his 4 years left on his deal, and we'll see if he extends past that. But it was kind of that they were – came to Jesus moment, but they're all in, and I think they're here to stay at least for the duration of their contracts.
And just looking at the NFC West as a whole too, I mean, from the outside looking in, I anticipated the Arizona Cardinals being the worst team in the NFL this year. I really thought that, you know, with Kyler Murray not playing, Josh Dobbs was a total question mark. I thought that they were a shoo-in for the number one pick in the draft. But as you look at your guys' division, I think that overall it's impressed. I mean, the LA Rams, like you said, they're doing better than I expected. The Cardinals as well. And then obviously you got the Seahawks and you got the Niners. So that's a tough division to be in right now.
Yeah, it always seems to be. And obviously prior to this year, it was touted as like the top division in football. And then you had this turnover but yeah, I mean, you give credit. I mean, you guys obviously know Jonathan Gannon very much better than I do, but it's very similar. His arc to becoming a head coach is so similar to Nick Sirianni, right? Like everyone laughed at Sirianni's first press conference. And I wanted Sirianni, you know, I'm from Denver originally. I'm a Broncos fan, to kind of answer Bob Downey's question here, but I wanted the Broncos to hire Nick Sirianni because I thought he was such a potentially good coach. Gets laughed at. And obviously we see what he did with you guys. And Gannon, the same thing, right? He goes to Arizona. Yeah. Everyone's like, what is this guy doing? You can't talk to the media. And they're a competitive football team. And luckily for the Rams have had the Cardinals numbers since McVay's been there. I think they're 10-1 against the Cardinals or something like that. So
yeah,
it should be okay against that. But yeah, the division's definitely better than what a lot of people anticipated.
Chris has a hard hitting question. He says, I'm late, but is Gale playing Twister or is that Dots candy on the receipt paper from the 80s? I'm at Nickelodeon Studios. The walls are kind of fun here. Okay. We like to have fun.
Yeah, that's sweet.
So,
And speaking of production value, before we get away from it, Ryan, I just have to say your camera quality has not gone unnoticed. That is a crisp picture, my friend. Crisp.
Yeah, we're all in this business, so you want to try to make it look good, right? So good. I'm glad it's noticed.
Now,
I just need a better studio instead of my bedroom, but we'll get to one day.
Dude, I'm the same.
Hey, LA, I know prices for things out there are super expensive, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tim Perkins is checking in, asking about Tyler Higbee. And, you know, looking at our linebackers, I mean, that was one of the things that was one of the question marks for us heading into this year. They've impressed more than I thought they were going to, but it's still part of the Eagles team that I view as somewhat of a weak spot. So how do you think Higbee kind of plays against our linebackers this week?
Yeah, Higbee, you know, another mainstay, just got a contract extension. So hats off to him. He's kind of he's such an interesting player because he's super vital in the offense, but sometimes he's very underutilized.
Reminds me of Goddard, honestly.
Well, yeah, don't tell me I got Goddard on my fantasy team. I'm like, what's going on here? Get this guy some touches. But Higby's the same way. His last huge performance was against the Eagles, right? 2 years ago with that three touchdown game, or was it three years ago? That was his biggest game of his entire career. He's a clutch player in big moments. I wouldn't expect him, especially if Cup comes back, to be a concern for you guys, just because I don't think he's that involved in the McVay offense. He's almost more of a decoy. And then, you know, he'll have three to five targets every game here and there, get 3 to 4 catches. Yeah. Watch, I say that, and then he'll go off for like 10 for 120 and 2 touchdowns. Right. But just from what I've seen and how much Rams football I've watched, and especially with Cooper Cup coming back, to answer Tim's question, I don't think he'll be a huge concern just because he's just not that involved in the offensive air attack. He's a real good run blocker as well. I think he's underrated in that department, and obviously that'll help hopefully spring Kyren to some ones. But yeah, it should be an okay matchup. But you know, on those third intermediates, he's definitely got to look out for.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I want to look at is this week, since Reed Blankenship missed one game, but every game he's played, he's been attacked the same, you know, right in the seams, the skinny post. Every tight end has gotten, I'd say, a plus 20 catch on him, over 20 yards on him. I think it's an area of concern for me. I mean, just the middle of our field is with our safeties and the way that they're set up. I'm very concerned. And I just feel like with Matt Stafford's arm, I feel like he knows where all the sweet spots of the zones are, and like, especially if Cups comes back, I'm worried about our sticks defense. If we continue to put that out, cause we've done that over the last couple of weeks, Howell got busy on us.
Yeah.
Very interesting that he did, but, his mobility, Matt Stafford, he's not the most mobile guy. Are you worried about him in the pocket?
I mean, so my I don't know if you, I'm sure you guys have heard, but he's got the hip contusion, obviously was banged up last week against the Colts. So we talked on our show, like the biggest concern for the Rams in this game is interior pressure, which obviously Jalen Carter and you guys have, you know, in abounds of players that can do that. And so if that's the way to beat this Rams, not just beat this Rams team, but probably dominate, is if you guys, you know, against Coleman Shelton, Steve Avila, Dotson, if you're able to get that interior pressure, force Stafford to either escape the pocket, which he's not going to do because he's not mobile, as you alluded to, Gale, or have to step into his throws with someone like Jalen Carter bearing in his face with that bad hip, it's just not going to bode well. So, you know, for us, like the game plan for McVay has to be, you know, these short, get the ball out quick, because if you watch a lot of Rams football these first 4 weeks, the one interesting thing that McVay has done in his play calling is it's a lot of long developing routes. I mean, how many times do you see Puka Nacua getting a 27-yard reception, Tutu Atwell with an 18-yard reception,
right,
and Van Jefferson streaking down the middle for a seam route? They don't do a lot of these short routes. And against a pass rush and an interior like the Eagles, I mean, that's where they're going to just wreak havoc. So look for McVay to either change the game script and do that, or if he doesn't, you know, it could be a long one for Stafford in the offense.
I think quick passes would definitely be the way to go. And honestly, like the way that this has been, the way the Eagles season has been going, and, you know, we've kind of have been giving up points. On the other side of that, we also are putting up points. I anticipate this kind of being a high scoring matchup. What's your thoughts on that? You think you taking the over this weekend?
Yeah, I know you guys are 4.5-point favorites. What is the over?
Right? I don't even know. I haven't placed a sports bet in years.
and you guys are legal there, aren't you? Yeah, in Pennsylvania. Yeah, you got. But
we're degenerates over here. Right?
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Well, I am, and I'm not even allowed to. So I guess I wait until Saturday to look at that. But I assume, if I'm guessing, that the over under is probably around like 48 or so, and I would probably take the over on that. I think, as you guys alluded to right when I jumped on, I think this is the best offense the Eagles have faced so far this year. And surprising with all that talent, you guys have given up some points. So, you know, that can shift very quickly. But, you know, I think, and the Rams defense, I think, has played really admirably and played great. But, you know, they're probably going to give up between 20 and 30, I guess, against this offense. So, yeah, I would not be shocked if this is a, you know, I don't know if you guys will do score predictions later, but I would not be shocked if this is like a 35-30, you know, 27-30 type of game kind of thing.
The way that the spread and the over-under right now is minus 4.5 points in the Eagles' favor, and then the over-under is 50. So
50.
Yep.
Now, Ryan, I know you probably watched the Super Bowl, the last one that the Eagles were in. I'm sure you bet on it. But I'm sure you also saw a lot of jet motion used by the Chiefs. I know Pete is asking, do they run a lot of motion plays with Tutu Atwell?
They do. I wouldn't say a lot. I feel like they should run more. But they kind of disguise it a lot and then just use it in their wheelhouse. If you watch that Monday night, was it Monday night or Sunday night? I always get my days mixed. But the Bengals Rams game, they did do that jet motion with Tutu, and it went for what should have been a touchdown. It got called back that he'd stepped out, even though he didn't. But that was really the I think two times total this year they've actually utilized that. So they don't do it a ton, but it is in the warehouse. They actually did it a lot with Cooper Kupp. I can't see them doing that, especially coming off injury. So, you know, you'd look for either a 2-2 or a Puka Nacua to be the guy to get that. But, yeah, it's in the warehouse, just not a huge point of emphasis.
We've talked a lot about Puka. We've talked about Kyren Williams, you know, guys that have kind of emerged this year. Who are some of the Rams players this year that are kind of more LA Rams fans known? You know what I mean? Like, who are guys that are performing really well this year that aren't really being talked about?
Yeah. So I feel like offensively, we've kind of hit on all of them. But defensively, you know, Ernest Jones at linebacker, he's entering his third year. He was a huge reason why the Rams decided to part ways with Bobby Wagner. If you remember, they signed him last year to a 5-year deal, and after just 1 year, waived him. And part of that was they love Ernest Jones, getting him out of South Carolina just 2 years ago. And he's turned into not just a leader of this defense, but tremendous in run defense and tackling, but he's improved dramatically in pass defense. That was kind of his one weakness coming out of college, but you know, total GPS of the football. And so he's been in great, and a guy that has been probably their best, outside of Aaron Donald, their best defender on this defense. And the other guy I think he's fairly well known, but maybe not. Maybe he is his Rams guy, but Jordan Fuller is their safety, a sixth round pick out of Ohio State a few years back in 2020, and missed almost all of last year to injury. So he kind of got forgotten about, but he's back fully healthy. He wears the green dot typically on Sundays. And so he's definitely a really, really stout defender. And then last one I'll bring up is, you know, Akella Witherspoon. They signed during training camp, so a late signing. Obviously, Witherspoon's been kind of around the league. I think, what, Niners, Chiefs, and Steelers. Yeah. And sometimes it's all about where you land. You know, he's only 25 years old, and he's found a rebirth in L.A., and he's one of the most efficient corner defenders in all of football if you look at efficiency ratings. So he's played great as that, you know, outside corner for this team.
I got a surprise for you. We had your favorite guy, Ernest Jones.
Hey.
On our Talk the Prospects segment, we were a big fan of his game. So we should be some analysts here, I think, because we're pulling these gems out. I know Todd in the chat, he said, what do you think the ratio of Rams fans to Eagle fans will be on Sunday?
It's going to be tough cross country, but what do you think?
Yeah. You know, I live here in LA, and there's a lot of Eagles fans that live here. I mean, I moved here, like I said, in the beginning in 08. So the Rams didn't move here till 16. So I was here for 8 years with no NFL teams. And the amount of, you know, Niners fans that live here, obviously Raider fans. But when you look at Eagles, Cowboys, Broncos, I mean, there's a lot of fans that just live here. So don't even have to travel. So it'll be at least 50-50. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it's 60-40 in favor of the Eagles. It's just the way it is in LA. You know, it seems like people take that as a slight. There is actually a really good Rams fan base, and it continues to grow. Yeah. But like I said, when there's 21 years of fans travel way more. And that's just the beauty of the sport now. And then B, it's just in LA, fans just live here. I mean, I live in LA, and there's like an Eagles fan on my block. So it's just the way it is.
I feel like LA is a lot of transplants just from all over the country as well. There's a lot of people that just end up moving there.
Yeah, I was out there for the Rams Eagles game, when the game that once got hurt, it was very I loved playing in the older stadium, to be honest. It was like a throwback.
That was in USC Stadium, right? Like the Rose Bowl.
It was definitely a throwback.
Yeah,
seats were a little creaky, but I think it was about a 50-50 split.
Yeah, I remember that game. The Collie's great. I mean, I'm there every Saturday for SC games. They've replaced the seats finally, Gale, so they're a little nicer now. But on that stadium.
It felt a little haunted too.
Yeah, it's 100 years old. I mean, it's 100 years old. So
the ghost of Vince Young is still walking around haunting USC.
Yes.
You said you go out to a lot of those games. I mean, have you seen Caleb Williams at all this year?
Oh yeah, I've been at every game. So I was just in Colorado this past weekend for the USC CU game. I'll be there this weekend when they play Arizona. So, you know, we're getting off topic, obviously, but Caleb Williams, man, it's one of those guys, like, not to sound cheesy, but you kind of feel honored to watch him. You're like, this is just something special to behold. Like, it's just, it's an honor.
You don't
got to
tell me,
play.
Man. I love USC. That's, I love that team.
That's the most random. When you, I know you told me this before, and it's because of Reggie Bush,
bro.
But every time you say it, it's like the first time you're saying it.
This is one of our sponsors, this Fight On Pale Ale here.
Can I zoom one in? Want to zoom one?
This is a Stone Brewery, local out here in LA, and it's our sponsor, Fight On Pale Ale. So shout out Stone Brewery.
Very nice. You think Caleb Williams actually threatens to stay in college if he has to play for the Bears?
Hell yeah. I mean, the money he makes in the NIL deals, I would.
Pull a Eli Manning? John Elway.
Yeah, it feels like him and his dad are kind of, and they kind of have this power just because of how good he is and how desperate teams are. But he's like using this as almost like he's the employer asking for resumes and kind of like, what team is going to like give me an opportunity and not just tank to draft me and prove that you're with me coming to it. It has that vibe, and that's what. But it's gonna be real hard for him to not go. So.
Back on this game heading into this weekend, and this is obviously something that isn't talked about, I feel like, often at all, but the special team side of the ball is something that we have been lacking for years. And now finally, Britton Covey, or England Covey, as I like to call him, he has been showing out in the punt return game. He had over 100 punt return yards a couple games ago. Didn't get in the end zone, but, I mean, he was averaging great. He was putting us in good field position. How has the Rams' punt defense been? Do you think that there's any opportunity for him to maybe break one off? Or have you guys been holding people in check?
Yeah, it's been much better. The Rams, you know, after they moved on from Bones, who I think he's still with Dallas, their special teams coordinator. But they had a lot of issues on special teams ever since moving on from him, and finally now with Chase Blackburn as their special teams coordinator, I feel like they've really improved. And so I mean, they've been pretty stout, to answer your question. I think there's always the opportunity, and obviously there's a lot of talent there on that side of the ball for you guys, and what we've seen him been able to do in space. But I think overall the Rams have actually been fairly well at containing who they've played in the special teams game. So wouldn't shock me, but I think that they should be able to keep things in check, at least on that side.
Keep things in check.
Okay. Now let's talk about McVay. I mean, I feel like, you know, some Bob from Down Under didn't believe he deserved the coach of the year in 2017. But do you think his game, have you seen like a growth in the way he's calling plays, and what has been the biggest difference from that 2017 year to now?
Yeah, so I mean, I love Sean McVay. I think he's, you know, I don't know if your listeners would agree with this, probably not, but I think he's a top five coach in the NFL. I mean, his resume, I think, speaks for himself. And just, what, 6 years, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl win, you know, countless division titles, only missed the playoffs once or twice, but only one losing season.
It's an impressive resume.
But it's funny, you know, he has those offensive guru tendencies where you just think you're better than probably the talent or the personnel you have. The best example is that week three game against the Bengals. And so, you know, you ask about like, if you've seen growth and maturity from 17 to now, and you see it on after a loss, right? That's where you see the maturity, because against the Bengals couldn't stop the run their first 2 weeks. Rams were in that game either winning or were down 3 the entire game. They lost 19-16. They ran the ball 13 times. They dropped Stafford back there, whatever it was, 47 times. And just like, what are you doing? Like, run the football. So those are those tendencies you see from McVay that are very frustrating and he hasn't grown out of, because you get games like that at least 3 times a year. Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen this Sunday or the Rams lose, in my opinion. But then you see the game after last week against you know, their opponent. And I felt like he called one of his best games of the year, and what he was able to do with doing, you know, keeping a balanced attack and using guys in motion, as we talked about earlier, and getting guys involved. And I know it stalled there in the second half a little bit, but they were still smart with it. And he had an injured quarterback there and was able to get the win in overtime. So it's, yeah, he always has those games 3 to 4 a year where you're scratching your head, like, man, what are we doing here? And then he has those games the following week where you're like, this is why you're one of the best coaches in all of football. So love him. You got to take the good with the bad.
I got a fun fact for you. In high school, Sean McVay got Player of the Year. I'll ask the question. Sean McVay got Player of the Year in the state of Georgia out of high school. Which Hall of Famer did he beat?
When he was playing football?
Oh, I feel like I know this answer too.
It's kind of wild.
Give me offense or defense.
Offense, because it's kind of a 6 degrees of
separation
from his quarterbacks. 6 degrees of Stafford.
So it's Stafford, okay. Well, not Stafford.
No, it's not Stafford. Teammate of Stafford.
Yeah. Calvin Johnson.
Yes.
That's, you really?
He beat out Calvin Johnson for Player of the Year.
That's pretty impressive.
In Georgia.
He played at Miami of Ohio, and he has a statue there.
Yeah. That's a great question. So you could use that on your podcast. Just there you go. Give me credit. Give me credit.
There you go.
I think Sean McVay is a little bit younger than Herschel Walker.
And then also, it's kind of weird with his players, the way they're lusting after the coach's wife, girlfriend, or whatever. What is that? What's going on over there? That's always making news.
I don't think it's true, but there was rumors that that's why Jared Goff was traded. because Goff was going out. His now wife, like they're having a baby. They're having a boy here in about 3 months.
If that's true,
yeah, that was like the whole joking rumor. Yeah.
I can see it.
Goff had his own like supermodel girlfriend. So that's why I didn't believe it. I'm like,
I can see it. Yeah, man. So talking about predictions, you said 35.
30? Well, so my prediction when I did our show earlier, and I'll just stick with it, was 27-23 Rams.
27-23.
Which puts them right at 50, right? Right at the yep. over-under line.
Right
makes
at the number.
Makes it a push.
See, I mean, it's like the interior pressure we're talking about the opposite way, but now we're talking about Aaron Donald versus our interior pressure. It's like, you know, you got a Hall of Famer in there, Jason Kelce, but you have Leonard Dickerson, who's they call him the Big Bopla. He's got some size, but Aaron Donald, Sirianni called him multiple. I mean, this guy can do a plethora of things. It's one guy that I'm actually, I don't really get worried about too many guys. And Aaron Donald is that dude. So how do you think they deploy him this week against the Eagles?
Yeah, well, he's, you know, Eric Henderson, the defensive line coach, is, I think, one of the most underrated coaches. He'll be – I'm shocked he's not a defensive coordinator yet, but he will be eventually. They use him in different ways because, obviously, he gets double and triple teams so often. So there was a play last week that kind of demonstrates it perfectly is, you know, with his interior rush, it forced – and obviously they'll see this from Jalen Hurts because of how athletic he is, but it forced – Anthony Richardson to roll out to the right, and then they used Ernest Jones, their backer, as that true like QB spy, and was basically just waiting for him. Like it was almost like a funnel concept, if you will. Like Aaron Donald, they knew he was going to win at the point of attack, even going against three guys, forced the QB here, and here's Jones just waiting for him. So I think you'll see that happen more in this game than Aaron Donald getting four sacks, just because he's such a point, and they don't have a true like great edged rusher. I mean, Byron Jones is a rookie; he's looked good. Hoyt isn't even like a true edge guy, but they've kind of been forced to start him there. So it's stuff like that that I think you'll see where you see his true greatness is more being the assist man or the setup man or whatever than just getting sacks. You know, I would think he'll still get maybe one sack in this game just because that's how good he is. But it's fun to watch how differently they use him. And when you just really key in on him, you can really see, you know, how great he really is.
For sure.
You know, I'm gonna give my. I'm just thinking about my prediction in my head. You got me thinking. I'm saying 34-27, Eagles.
I'm leaning towards a 27-21 victory. I think it's gonna be a close one. But the Eagles putting up as many points as they have this year. I think the trend continues. You know, we've scored at least 25 points in every game. I think that sort of trend is going to continue. So that's what I'm hoping for, at least. Well,
there's a guy on the Eagles. I don't know if you heard of him, A.J. Brown. Made a professional cornerback, Manuel Forbes, cry last week. Had him in a blender. He was talking his shit, which I respect.
Yeah.
But when it came to terms to backing it up, it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. Now you're Kelo Witherspoon, right? Is your corner?
Kelo Witherspoon or Darian Kendrick will be the two.
Where do you see them? Like, and again, I'm not even slighting Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith is route guard, God Junior, that I call him. Where do you see your cornerback standing up to these two?
Yeah, it's gonna be tough, and that's why I love the NFL because every week's so different. Because you see in week one. Right, where you play the Seahawks that have, you know, arguably a top five receiver room with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, drafting Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And in the second half, those guys had like a combined 4 yards receiving. I mean, they absolutely were shut down by this relatively unknown DB room. And I think throughout the season, the DB room has actually played much better than expected. We have this joke, we're going to make a shirt on the LA Football Network called Better Than Expected. And that's like our Rams mantra this year is just everything's better than expected. But, you know, I think that was week one. Everything, there's always like, you don't really know what you're going to get with week one. To me, if they can hold Smith and AJ Brown to like 125 yards combined, like that's a win. Not a win necessarily in the game category, but in terms of secondary versus those great receivers. I mean, if they're holding those guys to about 70 apiece, like, they played their butts off. I think that's solid. I just don't know the talent discrepancy, how you contain those guys, the offensive prowess that Sirianni has, the connection they have with Jalen Hurts, and obviously other aspects to their offense that they bring. So if they can do that, that's a win. We'll see if they can do it. It'll be a fun matchup to watch, though.
And if the Rams continue to have success and, the whole better than expected mantra continues, as we get closer to the trade deadline, do you anticipate, like, let's say the Rams, rattle off a few wins in a row? Do you, A, anticipate them making a move before the deadline? And B, where do you think that move, where do you think they would be helping out, in what position?
Yeah, it's so, we've been talking about this basically since the season started, because that's what the Rams do, right? Like, they're always in win now, and this is such a different vibe of season, and everyone thought they were going to tank, and in reality, they're just kind of remodeling, not rebuilding, And right now, you have the Broncos just released Randy Gregory, and that's like the true position the Rams need is a true edge guy. Like, do they go after him? But they don't seem to really have that move. Personally, I think they're content how they are. I think any push to the playoffs or any depth there, it's like a cherry on top, because they're really, this team is built for 2024 they're going to have $90 million in cap space. They have all their draft picks. They finally have a first round pick, and then they can just basically do what they did 2 years ago all over again and go all in next year. But to your point, Evan, like, if this deadline comes and they're, I always forget what week it is, but let's say they're 7-2 or whatever the record could be, or they're sitting like that and sitting at the top of the division. I mean, it's gonna be really hard not to make an impending move to say, we can go win it this year.
Like, we'll win it this year.
Let's not sell ourselves short. Yeah. Right. So I wouldn't count anything out. I would lean right now saying they'll hold pat, but yeah, I mean, if they go on this run, they're the team that will make a move for sure. They've proven that.
I think Van Jefferson, could they trade? I mean, with the depth that you have, could you trade him to the Panthers and team him up with his father, who is the wide receiver coach in Carolina?
They should. I think we've seen through four games that he's really not even involved in the game plan. So the hard thing with the NFL, and you guys know this, is it's so rare you get like player for player trade. So if they trade Van, they'll probably get a 6th round pick back for him, if that. So obviously they can use that next year. But if they're going for, like, they need to make moves for this playoffs, they're basically going to have to throw that plan out the window, trade draft picks this year to go get, a Brian Burns or something.
Except for that damn Chip Kelly that traded away our all-time leading rusher for freaking Kiko Alonso. Thanks, Chip. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Chip.
Hey, Chip's here in LA too, with UCLA, so we'll see him all the time.
before we get you out of here, I also want we want some tips, because if places to eat for Eagle fans coming in the city, like, let's say best. Give me your best spot that if you were looking at Eagle fans as your friends, where would you recommend them to go eat? Don't send us to no shady spot. This is
South Central. I hear
this is Elite Eats, Ryan.
Hey, if you want good tacos, you're probably going to South Central. So, are you guys coming out for the game? By the way,
we are.
Oh, love it. Okay, all right. Well, maybe we'll have to.
Can we get a bro hug somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. So LA, it's as Philly's the same way, right? I mean, it's such a big place. It's hard to figure out, burger spot. There's a spot all the way up here in Pasadena called Pie and Burger, which is amazing. It's like an old school, it's like almost 100 years old, I think. And they serve pie and burgers, and it's great, but that's a little far from the stadium. There's this place downtown. So the stadium's in Inglewood, and Inglewood is kind of it's becoming gentrified. So it's very still run down around the city, but they're starting to build up a lot more. But if you go downtown, which is, probably 20 minutes from the stadium, there's one of my favorite places called Cole's. It's, I believe, 105 years old. It's like a French dip speakeasy. So they got great bourbon, great old fashions. And then they have these amazing French dip sandwiches. You can do pastrami sandwices as well. And they have these amazing garlic fries. So that's a little hole in the wall spot that I love going to. Tacos, just find any taco stand. Like, you don't need to go to a restaurant. Like, any, just,
I figure tacos are like cheesesteaks out here. Like, you can't really,
any taco truck you can find, you can't go wrong. So you don't need to travel far and wide for that. Just wherever you're staying, find the taco truck. Always go El Pastor. I judge my taco truck. My wife's Mexican, so I'm spoiled. I get great Mexican food. Mexican food by their El Pastor. So, if you like carne asada, if you like chicken, throw it out the window, order the El Pastor taco, and then that's how you can kind of judge the taco truck. So
good to know.
I'm in Times Square right now, and we have a taco place down the street, and you get like two tacos for like $22. I'm like, what is this? Wait till I go to LA.
it's going to be $25.
Mexican food.
You can get a taco truck. You'll be able to get probably, you know, seven tacos for $22. So you'll be all right.
Dad says that you remind him of Ben Foster, a great actor in The Lone Survivor.
Oh, must be the goatee. I get a Edward Norton a lot too.
you might want to look that up. But anything else you want to promote before you get out of here? I mean, you've been giving us all the intel. I know it's it's hard to give the information to the enemy, but anything else you want to add?
Yeah, no, guys, this has been fun. Thanks so much for having me. The last thing I'll say about the game is, you know, I see two key factors, and we kind of mentioned it. One is that interior pass rush from the Eagles. If they're able to get inside and force Stafford to step into, you know, Jalen Carter, whatnot, or escape, then it's going to be a long day. And then for the Rams, if they can't get any edge pressure, if they're relying purely on Aaron Donald, and your guys' tackles are able to dominate, then it's going to be tough for that secondary to hold up against your obviously great receivers. So those are the two factors. In terms of me, thanks for having me on. You know, LA Football Network is who we are. LAFBnetwork.com or LAFB Network on all of our socials. If anyone wants to check that out, or if any Eagles fans in here are in LA and want to check out USC or UCLA, obviously don't want to see about the Rams, but maybe college, they want to check us out. So
is there a good game on Saturday?
So UCLA plays Washington State at the Rose Bowl, which is actually a Washington State's 13th ranked. So that should be a really good game. Cool. And then USC is at the Colley playing Arizona, so it won't be quite as good of a game, but
so we can meet Chip Kelly in the alleyway somewhere.
There you go, somewhere in the beautiful
Ryan sent us. He said you'd be here.
Yeah. I live about a mile from the Rose Bowl, so if you want to come up, let me know. I'll be here.
All right. I'm gonna get your number. I'm gonna hit you up, man. But we appreciate you sticking around and coming through. Hopefully we see you in LA. Maybe for some tacos.
Can't wait. Hit me up. Thanks, guys. Good luck this weekend.
All right.
Good luck, dude. Take care. Bye-bye.
That was awesome. It's always good to get the nitty-gritty from the opposing fans.
I mean, we are so gung-ho, and, you know, we follow the Eagles every breath we take. So it's good to get a perspective from a guy that is a fan of another team to give us a non-biased, view of what's going on out there.
WG36 said, I switched to YouTube so I don't feel ignored. Have we ignored you? I haven't seen any messages. Is he on Twitch? Is he on Facebook?
No, I see Facebook messages and YouTube messages coming in through.
You know, it is what it is. You got me excited about the tacos. I'm not going to lie.
Al Pastor. I don't even know what Al Pastor is.
It sounds good, though.
Yep.
You know, the other thing, when I started to think, I just feel like our front, but again, if Cox isn't playing, it's definitely gonna be a test of the youngins.
It will be, but I mean, like, I feel like our defensive rotation goes deep enough to where
true Milton Williams. Let's not disrespect. We still got Josh Sweat. We have Brandon Graham.
Graham, Hassan Reddick,
Temple Zone.
Hassan Reddick, who I didn't even get to talk about from the Washington game. It was great to watch him finally end up on the stat sheet, get himself a sack. I think our defensive line rotation will be all right. Boneless pork shoulder. Pulled pork El Pastor. All right.
It sounds like some the last – I don't know. I'm not going to say it. Not gonna even say it. It sounds like Red Dead Redemption boss, the El Pastor. You have to beat him before you finish the game. Shout out to Pete Nathan. I randomly see texts here and there. I got a million of them. I know I will get on the podcast, Pete. You don't have to put me on your story for me to see it. I didn't forget. My roof was off the other day. So that's the way my life has been. The roof is on now, and the new garage door comes tomorrow.
Oh, things are moving up.
We're calling it. That's called adulting. So when people, I don't get back to you, it means my roof is probably off or my garage door is probably broken, and I'm adulting. Sorry, are you excited about this LA trip?
Like, oh, yeah, bro.
give me some, because we're under a limited time to do things in LA, pal.
Yeah.
Give me a list of things that you want to do in LA, because they call you Hollywood for a reason.
Beat up Chip Kelly in an alley.
Is that a real thing?
Beating up Chip Kelly?
Yeah.
Can be.
Okay.
No, I'm just looking forward to the food out there. Looking forward to, you know, seeing some palm trees.
Too.
The weather out there is going to be nice. You know, starting to get a little bit cooler out here, even though it's not. It's still pretty fucking warm out here. Dude, I'm just looking forward to the vibes. I think that, you know, heading out there with a bunch of Eagles fans, taking over a city is what I love doing. I love just seeing the look on all the locals' face when they're blown away by how much Eagles green has taken over their city, and the inevitable, Jesus Christ, would you guys shut up with your Eagles chant? Love it. Love hearing that. We take over city for the weekend, and we take our win and we go home.
Mm. Prime is in the chat. He says Santa Monica Beach, bro.
Isn't that kind of far?
Nah. I'd say Venice Beach. Venice Beach is pretty, mm-hmm. pretty dope. I like that. If you have not played Grand Theft Auto, you will see parts of LA that are in the game. So if I see parts of LA that were in GTA, I will put it on socials. I'm just letting you know.
Just to let you know, you can't just Grand Theft Auto your way through LA. You will get arrested.
I'm just saying, if I see a ramp, I'm going off it.
We're going to hit up, you know, in that game on Rodeo Drive, there is a store called Bijan. And that guy's car, it's a Bugatti. And he parks it out front of his store every day. And it's such a landmark that they put it in GTA. You can go grab that in GTA. It's a little GTA nugget for you.
Last time I was there.
And just to let you know, that Bijan store that he parks that damn car in front of, why don't you take a stab at how much money it costs just to walk in the door, to book an appointment to go shopping?
I'd say 1,000.
10 stacks.
Wow.
Walk in the door.
Last time I was in LA, I was riding with my Uber driver, and I was explaining to her that monument right there is in Grand Theft Auto. She looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, I had to share it with someone. Will says, I love the Santa Monica Beach Pier. Dad's is talking about food trucks, tacos, nom, nom, nom.
Sure.
Let's see. Shout out to RJ. He says, it's always awesome to hear my wife say, is Gail's 4th and John on? Put it on the TV. She's love fired
that.
Up.
Love that.
Go 5-0. RJ posted on his timeline today. Always like to see random Eagles acts of fandom. His wife, he's got his wife changed. She's now she's I'd say we're in the sicko mode. When she's like, you know, you're watching the game and you're playing the video game and then you lean forward.
Yeah,
that when she's watching the Eagles.
I got you.
That's a good scene. Lethal says, we're about to take over the stadium. Watch.
I hope so, man.
I like that. I like the vibe. Wealthy One says, has anyone seen Miss Solar? She's on socials, man. She's talking football. She's one of the smartest when it comes to talking football. You might want to find her and talk about football. Pete Nate said Venice Beach or Newport Beach. That's where they used to film Baywatch. Pete Nathan given all this giving us all this intel.
Isn't Pete out there? You're not gonna be around Pete?
Isn't he Northwest?
I thought he was LA.
Oh, come on, man. Like, first of all, shout out to Rack Check for coming to the tailgate. And shout out to him for clowning Pete for not being there. shout out to Mal Davis, and shout out to Hollis, who's already in LA. Mm-hmm. We're leaving tomorrow, man.
Let me guess, you ain't packed yet?
Nah, not really. I got a bunch of shit. wrapped.
I haven't even done the laundry two pack yet, so I'm behind you.
I just when it comes to like traveling, I don't really travel for much, but the Eagles get me out of my box, that's what the Eagles are doing. They're getting us out of our box. We're going over to the West Coast again. If you guys are not have anything to do, but if you do have something to do, you can change your plans. We are going to be doing the Ultimate Tailgate on Sunday. Check out Philly Sports Trips for more information. You can book there for the for this tailgate on Sunday. We also have the LA Pep Rally. Pep Rally starts at 4 o'clock. It goes to 7 o'clock. It'll be on Tavern on the Main. It's going to be an epic party. John Dorenbos will be there, Quint Michael, and Hollis Thomas. I'm going to give a over under 100 times that Eagle fans ask him to do magic tricks, John Dorenbos.
I'm going to take the over.
You think he's tired of doing magic tricks?
Tired? No. I feel like, you know, magicians, I feel like that's kind of, you know, if they're good at it, like John's good at it, like I think he likes impressing people.
That was the one surprise that we've had at our tailgates when John Dorenbos showed up to do magic at our tailgate. That was probably the most coolest thing.
He made the stadium disappear, remember?
Did he? Remember the who was it, David Blaine, the guy that would hide like freeze in ice and stuff?
Yeah.
Like he used to be across the street, and everyone's watching him like a big ice cube or something. I'm like, dude, could you just stop?
Could you stop with your giant ice cube, bro?
Like nobody cares. You're freezing yourself to death. Like really?
Hey, see me? No, you don't. John.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, any last? Are you ready for your last word?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready for another Eagles dub. I'm ready to keep the the record clean, and continue to ride. And on top of that, I'm also ready for another Cowboys loss, man. You know, the Eagles, obviously, we're looking forward to this Rams game that we're going up against. But you know, one of the better matchups this weekend, the Cowboys have their hands full with the 49ers. So if we can separate some distance in the division, go up two games this early in the year, I'd be all for that, man.
Who do they play?
Niners.
It's become two of our worst enemies. Mm-hmm. I almost like don't like. It's weird. 49ers are on my.
Jen Kincaid's the only 49ers fan I like.
Yeah, they're on my shit list. Also, a hat you can't wear on the
Niners. Outside.
It's also
I would wear a Niners hat if you paid.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to give you tips.
Okay.
I'm not trying to scare you straight. I'm just trying to give you tips. Any other last words for you?
Let's go, Phils. Let's go get ourselves a ring. Loving the vibes, boys.
Yeah, man. Can we go into Phillies talk right now?
Dude, let's do it.
Why do I love every single player on this team?
Everyone, dude.
Like they all got some storyline. They're all cool as shit.
They talked about it on the and I get that, like, you know, they're trying to pump it up and all that stuff. But they talked about how there's like no clicks in the locker room. And I feel like, you know, baseball is a sport where there's a lot of Spanish speakers, you know, and like locker rooms can kind of be, there could be a language barrier. And for this Phillies team to have that mix, just like every other team, but like everybody just, they all get along. They all, and you watch like the Brewers, they closed out their series as well. And you saw their lame ass celebration in their locker room. And everyone's given the Phillies, you know, shit about like how hard they were celebrating. Dude, I love it. I love seeing this team be successful. And I'm loving the vibes from the Phillies. It really feels like they're going to carry us all the way back to the pennant.
Mr. Cross has his overall. I've seen a lot of people with either Eagles overalls. The players have the overalls. Now they have Phillies. Make sure you wear drawers under them. Bob from down on his swerve. Looks like the British Bulldog is running the bases. It killed me. AJ says Bryson Stott is Evan's cousin.
I will take that.
Why don't you ask your cousin for a couple of mil? A couple mil.
How about some stats?
In a cool tone, says Taylor Rooks looking like a snack at the Washington game. Taking a curveball. We're talking about Phillies. You're talking about Taylor Rooks.
But, hey, I believe him, though.
this is his last word. That's your last word. Before we get out of here, big shout-out to Bud Light for holding us down to the tailgate. Mm-hmm. Always providing the studs. And these killer green, Kelly Green Bud Light bottles are phenomenal. Yeah. I'm gonna save a couple for some randos that want a limited can.
I think you should just save one for a shelf in your house.
Shout out to Conch Italian Bakery, mm-hmm. providing the tomato pies always. Shout out to Red Bull Distribution Center. Evan, you'll love that place.
I will. I'm going to set up an IV directly into my arm.
At the last tailgate, Evan was
pouring.
He had a minute of like, it was in his eye. I think Evan might have a Red Bull addiction.
I went over to Gail at the end, like, let me get some cans, bro.
Yeah.
Where's the packs of Red Bull?
Got any more Red Bull, bro? I saved you a case.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate
you. Okay. I've had more Red Bulls in a month than I have in a decade.
It's great to be sponsored.
I was doing the Harlem Shake after one. I was like, I don't got a
vibing, right?
I don't got a roof on my house, but let me do the Harlem Shake. Last word. Thank you guys for sticking around. Thank you, Ryan, for sticking around and giving us the intel. And we'll see you soon. I think we'll probably see us on socials, either on Philly Sports Trips or on 4th and John, just promoting the trip and showing you what's going on. Again, we won't get there till Saturday night. So look for some content coming around Saturday morning. Maybe some chicken and waffles for breakfast.
Oh, don't gotta tell me twice.
I don't know if that's in his wheelhouse, chicken and waffles.
If he could throw an egg on top of it, he'll be happy. Yo, you put a fried egg on that?
I let him to
when you first introduced that to him?
I let him to the water.
Yeah.
Now he puts the egg on everything. Yeah. Shout out to Tim in the building. He says, go birds. I'm calling him Luciano. Prime says, hell yeah, for chicken and waffles. Okay. I'm with that. But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles fly.
Go Phils.
Go Phils. I dig it. I just got to hit the button.